Do you remember when we did the lesson on the properly functioning assembly? And everybody kind of chuckled because I'm the guy up here standing in this place talking about a properly functioning assembly. I was thinking about that one, and we do have at least one John lesson left before we're finished in the book of John verse by verse. But I thought of an addendum to that message, a properly functioning assembly. And we talked about how it's so hard for us, once we come to grace, to realize we don't go to church. We are the church. We are the church, which is his body. And we go to the meeting, an assembly of members in particular of the church that are coming together. But we are the church ourselves. We're members in particular, is what 1 Corinthians 12 says. And that changes a lot. It changes how we do things. It changes how we think about what we're going to do at church compared to what we were all brought up in. We were all brought up, that's the holiest time of the week, that's sanctified, it's a special place, it's a special time, you're closer to God there, and that's where you worship God, all these kinds of things. But you think about it completely differently when you realize I am the church. And wherever I'm going, week to week, and whatever I'm doing, that's where the church is. So it tends to make you more accountable when you think about things like that, on what you're doing. And we talked about our meetings being a time out in our church service, which is completely different of how I used to think of things. When we're having a meeting, we're not doing our church service. Our church service, as this Philippians says, holding forth the word of life in a crooked and perverse world. That's when our church service is happening. So, and also last time we talked about what a properly functioning assembly looks like. In our world, we looked at the two different models, which are still popular today. Number one being the Rick Warren model, right? All the biggest and best churches follow the Rick Warren model. And their design is to attract a crowd through entertainment, and then you osmose them into being Jesus followers, or whatever they call it. Taking people from being unchurched, whatever that means, to churched. Whatever that means. That was the Warren model. And then we talked about the four W's of the fundamentalist model. And there still are some churches out there that follow that. Does anybody remember what the four W's were? You got two of them. You got to get it in the right order, though. It doesn't work unless you get it in the right order.
Win them.
Then you wet them. Then work them. And then they get tired. And then they don't show up at a work day. And then you whip them. That is the four W's model of keeping a church going. And so that's what's on our plate to look at, what everybody knows to be a properly functioning assembly. Either liberal, anything goes, to legalism and the law. And we talked about what a properly functioning grace church looks like, functioning under grace. And it'd be nice if you had the four G's, but we had the four E's. We had first evangelism, of course. Then we had edification. That's 1 Timothy 2:2, 3, and 4. God's will is for all men to be saved, evangelism, and to come to the knowledge of the truth, edified, soul saved, saints edified. And that is supposed to lead to expansion. You see more people saved, more edified people, what are they going to do? They're going to see more people saved and more people edified. But we don't count expansion as a measure of success. We know that Paul had his struggles. We looked at that, how Paul cut his ministry team by 66% one day. And he did the right thing. We saw how Paul was saying, that church needs to shut down and his mouth needs to be stopped. So Paul wasn't just for expansion, just for expansion's sake. It had to be true. And then the final E was evaluation. How are we doing? Are we keeping the doctrine pure? Are we ministering with a right heart, with charity? Are we following the previous three E's and everything we're doing? So that was what a properly functioning grace assembly looks like. So what I want to talk about this week is, we talk about this, it should be a properly functioning assembly. This is what that looks like. Nobody knows that. Everybody knows that you either do Warren or the four W's. So what we do here and in churches like ours all over the world is considered weird, is considered not normal, not a properly functioning assembly. So my addendum to the first message is, I'm glad you left a, quote, properly functioning assembly. I'm glad you left that place. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So what happens when you leave the five W's? You've got five to choose from with every other church in town. You've got the Warren model or you got the four W's. What happens when you say, I'm done with this. I've seen grace. I've seen the revelation of the mystery. I've seen my Bible rightly divided. I can't sit here anymore. I'm gone. First thing that happens is in the eyes of your friends and your family, like you were talking about a minute ago, you're weird on one level. You're not proper. You're some kind of other. I'm not sure what they're doing, but it's not normal. It's not proper. Maybe even in the eyes of your spouse. I've had a bit of that. They don't know what, they don't understand what kind of crazy, odd dogma you're following, but they just know for sure, brother so-and-so, I don't know what he's doing, but he's left a properly, let me use heavy air quotes, a properly functioning assembly. That's what they know. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm glad I did. And I'm glad you all did. And whoever watches this out in YouTube land, if you've done that, I'm glad you left. But isn't that funny to consider? Because we all know how we got to the grace message, right? It wasn't, oh, I'm just going to try this place over here today. That's fine. No, you went on a quest for truth. You found out something's not right here in this, quote, properly functioning assembly. So you go on a quest for truth. You search God's truth out in God's book, and you find answers. I found answers in God's word rightly divided. And all these things just fell into place, and all these questions that I had for all these years, and all these things I could never understand, and nobody could ever explain to me, now it's so clear. It's so simple. You've all been there. You've done that. And when you saw that, you responded by doing what God's word told you to do. Turn over to Romans 16. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Who is the one teaching the doctrine? Paul. The instruction is, mark them which are causing divisions and offenses that are contrary to Pauline doctrine. So that's what you did. He said, hey, this Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, wherever you're at, is teaching doctrine that is opposed to the Bible rightly divided, is opposed to Pauline truth. So you say, these are the guys I got to mark. I need to avoid these guys. I need to get out of here. I don't know where I'm going, but I know I shouldn't be here. So you do that, right? Then what do? Oh, turn over to Philippians 3. Some more people need to be marked. We just had the wrong people marked. Look at Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Who's talking? Paul. And mark them which walk so. Mark people who are walking according to a Pauline pattern, following the Lord Jesus Christ, so as ye have us for an example. So that's what you did. You said, this, well, that's not right. I need to go be with these people. Pretty simple stuff. You're just following Bible truth, but now you're a kook in the eyes of all your denominational friends. They don't know what to do with you. They've never heard anything like it. They've never heard words mean exactly what they say. You can't take it and tell spiritualized stories for 20 minutes and make it your own like you're on American Idol. That's crazy for you to stand up and say that to a friend of yours. What? We've been doing it this way for 40 years. So you found truth in the Word of Life. You took hold of it. You followed the instructions many times to your own detriment, to your own pain, to your own loss. People lose friendships. People lose fellowship with the churches they used to be at. They're called names. They're maligned. They're impugned. For what? For saying, God, I believe you meant exactly what you said in this book, and I'm going to follow your truth wherever it takes me. So because you do that, you don't fit anymore. You can't be a part of a properly functioning assembly. Once again, in heavy air quotes. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad you left. What's that? Where, basically, if you want to, let me boil that question down to exactly what they mean when they ask that. Who is your cult leader? Take me to your leader. That's what they're asking. It's so radical. No, I just read the words of the book and I believe them. If that's radical to you, I'm sorry. We can't play nice together anymore. But yeah, the world religious system, all your friends and family, you're not normal anymore. You're not proper. And like I said, I'm glad I left. I'm glad I don't fit in there anymore. I'm glad you all left. I'm glad you left a, quote, properly functioning assembly. Because now you have an opportunity to learn grace and learn what God's will is for your life and for our life. And what God's will is for a church assembly coming together, what we should be doing. Now, why do I bring this up? I was thinking about the past couple of weeks about, we talk about liberty in Christ and how glorious and how wonderful our liberty in Christ is, and it is. But there are consequences. There are consequences to liberty. And sometimes those consequences, you don't notice them so much for a while. And then sometimes there's times where, you know, one hits and then another hits and they tend to snowball on you and you tend to get a little bit overwhelmed. It tends to weigh heavy on you at times, the consequences of having liberty in Christ and leaving the safety of the legalism denomination, leaving the fold. And I'm not immune. I'm just a person. I'm not immune to that at all. It snowballs on me from time to time, too. I have good days, and I have some not-so-good days. Sometimes I sit back in my chair at my desk, and I think to myself, what am I doing? I'm one little guy with your finger in the dike, right? What am I accomplishing? What do we have going? And so, yeah, it affects me too, just like anybody else. But every now and again, something happens, a circumstance takes place, or a ministry opportunity happens where you can sit back and say, I am so glad I left. I am so glad I left a properly functioning assembly, because if I weren't, if I had not gone on this quest for truth, if I had not discovered God's Word rightly divided, I would not have been able to help that person in that moment like I was. I would not have been there to be able to set them free and to open the eyes of their understanding and to take the guilt that they're under and show them God's grace. So that happens. And that when that happens, I'm so glad I left. You could have had two bad weeks in a row. Something like that happens. I'm so glad I left. And you, as you continue in your ministry life, working with people, you're going to have more and more of those things happen as you deal with people, as you learn more, and you understand grace doctrine more, and you find yourself able to answer questions and set other people free from bondage. And you'll be saying on that day, I'm so glad I left. I can't stand that jerk Steve every week. But I'm so glad I left, because even though I have to put up with him, I was there to minister in that way and help that person. That's great. I'm glad I left a properly functioning assembly. I'm glad I left, I'm glad you left, and I hope that we all stay gone. There are people, the consequences, the reality of liberty gets to be a bit much, and they say, I've had enough of this, I want to go back to where I felt better. And they go back under bondage, because they like all that comes with that. More on that in a minute. But liberty has consequences, and usually what happens, as you storm out the back door of your Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever church, you storm out and you shake the dust off your feet. Never again will I come back to your church, you jerk. Woo! I feel great! And then you get the car and you drive home, and before you get home, what are we going to do now, honey? I don't know, I hadn't thought that far. Yeah, we'll stop for some ice cream and figure it out, right? But what happens is you've done the right thing, in many cases for the right reasons. You've realized, I don't fit in a, quote, properly functioning assembly anymore. And you're thinking, what are you going to do now? So, well, honey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to get on the Google machine, and I'm going to find two or three Grace Pauline churches in the area. We'll go visit them, and then maybe we'll look at the next town over and find the next two or three, and then we'll pick which one we like the best, right? That's what you're going to do. Yeah, how'd that work out? I've been Googling for years. Can't find anybody within an hour, right? That's what happens. People think, oh, I'm going to find, and all of a sudden you can't. So what's the consequence now? Who do I fellowship with? I've got the truth. I've had all these questions answered. I've had all these wonderful things happen to me. Now I can understand my Bible. Nobody wants to hear about it, and I can't find a place to go to. That's a consequence, isn't it? Suddenly, I can't find fellowship. I get emails at the website every now and again. And it's always the same thing. Hey, I caught one of your videos on whatever. I loved it or I hated it, whatever. Do you know of any place near me where I can go? No. No, I don't. The one guy has had a meeting of four. I couldn't find anything else anywhere near him. You're it, buddy. You four people. So consequences. Let's say, best case scenario, you get your spouse to agree with you. Here you are, 2 years down the road, and you're just having a Bible study with you and your spouse. That's hard. Your parents think you're nuts. Your friends think you're nuts. All the people you used to go to church with know you're nuts because their pastor did a six-week study talking about what heretics you were. That's hard. 2 months more? Yeah. It's a consequence. But what about the folks that contacted me and it's only four? It's only four people. Do you know of any assembly near me? Yes, I do. It's you. You four people is your assembly. That's where you start. That's the grace group in your area. Start following the four E's and work from there. That's what you got to do. I'm glad those four people left a, quote, properly functioning assembly. Because you know what? They're a meeting, whatever it looks like, with their four people, that is the only place in their area that has any chance of functioning as God would have a church assembly function today. According to God's will, according to the doctrines, the risen Lord Jesus Christ delivered to our Apostle Paul. Whatever it looks like. They may have no money, they may have no songbooks, nobody can sing, no entertainment, and maybe they've only got two Bibles between them. But that is the only group of people that is able to follow God's will as He would have it followed today in that town. Now, I understand. Lots of churches do lots of right things by accident sometimes. They get a smidgen of grace doctrine mixed with this and that. I'm not saying that that's the only place that can do anything, but they have the only chance of being a properly functioning Pauline assembly. So I'm glad they left, because otherwise, you know how many people in their town there'd be? Zero. So at least they got that. Now his group is double what Melissa and I started with. For the first part, it was just me and her. And when we had our first formal meeting, I think there was six in the living room. And one of the six, I'm pretty certain, knew for sure that I was nuts before the meeting. It took better part of a year and a half for me to turn that frown upside down. So we got one that thinks I'm nuts, and then another one's not even with our group anymore. So, I mean, it's tough. There's consequences. But you do, you get lonely. You miss things. We miss things about when we were at, quote, properly functioning assemblies. And so what happens is we get used to the grace, we get used to the peace that comes with understanding God's word rightly divided, we understand God's dispensations, we understand God's will, we have clarity now, we can see how things are laid out in God's word rightly divided, that's great, but you're lonely. And it's hard. Even in a group like ours, there's lots of things to miss. We've got it better than a lot of folks around the world. I've told you guys before about there are people on this planet who have never met another grace believer in their part of the world, ever, in the flesh. They chat online and they attend e-services or whatever, but they've never been able to sit across the table in McDonald's and say, "Let's talk some doctrine, brother." Never. It's lonely. Suddenly you start missing things about that rotten place that you stormed out of and shook the dust off your feet and that jerk preacher. Remember when he used to do that? That wasn't so bad. That was nice. Remember the concerts? Those wonderful concerts? I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. And they would have gospel sangs. I mean, there wasn't a sing, it was a sang. They were going to have the four-part or quartet. They were going to have all, I mean, it was a big deal. And people love them. And that was the most packed out meetings when they were having the sangs. You miss that. You miss, remember the big fellowship dinners? And you'd have 200 people in a room and remember the choir? How beautiful the choir sounded. The athletic guys always loved the church softball league. Now that's some sanctified hard or softball there on the diamond, right? You want to make a diamond holy. Remember how pretty the church was at Christmas time? Well, you know, if we had our own building, I wouldn't be hanging that stuff up. But people love that. The most popular event of any church calendar is what? Come on onward, Christian soldiers. What is the most popular event? The retreat! That's the thing everybody looks forward to the most. The Christian soldiers look forward to the retreat. We get to go play in the woods for a weekend. You miss that. That old jerk preacher wasn't so much of a jerk on the retreat. Remember how nice the retreat was? You miss things. Can we do something that doesn't happen in churches very often? Can we admit it? Yeah, we do miss those things. Yeah. There is comfort being in a room of 100, being in a room of 200, being in a room of 500. And that's what everybody was talking about at that seminar out there in Indiana, the one we missed last weekend, is how many people there were there. And what comfort to know all these people packed wall to wall in this building, they all see the truth of God's grace and right division the same as me. There's comfort in that. And you miss that comfort when you leave a place like that and go back to your group of four or your group of two. Now, we've admitted it. Yes, we miss that stuff. But let's be honest about it further. Any of that stuff that I mentioned, from the fellowship dinners to the retreats to the sangs to the shows and all that, how much of that stuff can we honestly step back and say, the sole purpose of that event was 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, to see souls saved and saints edified? Now, I understand a soul can be saved in any crazy number of circumstances. I'm talking about the purpose of this event that I missed so much was to see souls saved and saints edified. I would suggest that when we really think back on all the things we miss, that wasn't their orientation. The reason those events were held was not because somebody sat down in a meeting and said, we need to see more souls saved and saints edified. How do we get that done? The retreat! That's not how that came to be. Now, why do I bring that up? I think if we're really honest with ourselves, the purpose of those events was not, this is the best way we can redeem our time and try to see saints equipped to be ambassadors of the third heaven, to see as many people saved as they can. That wasn't the purpose. Money is a purpose. If there's a buck in it, you know some church is going to do it right. But not just money. So many, and I've thought about this, and I'm going to be honest with me in front of you. The reason that I miss some of those things, the reason I wish sometimes that I could have my cake and eat it too, here's why. Most of those activities, most of those events, if we're really honest about it, they were pleasing to our flesh. We liked it. It made us feel good. It was fun. It was entertaining. That's why we miss it. Just like a soldier on the front lines of the battlefield is going to miss a lot of things, right? Wow! I used to be in America. I had my wife, I had my children, I had my nice comfortable house and my beautiful lawn. Now I'm sitting in a mud hole in West wherever, Asia, and people are shooting at me. This isn't fun. But if we are going to be soldiers, ambassador soldiers of God's grace, and redeem every little bit of time we have, shouldn't we be in the foxhole where it's not fun, where it's not pleasing to our flesh? Or should we be back at home relaxing? That's why we miss it. And like I said, I understand. People can get saved. People can be edified in any number of circumstances. And I'm not up here saying if you go to a retreat that had nobody ever could get saved and nobody could ever get it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's the focus of it. And the reason we miss those things is because they were about our flesh. A lot. And we get tired. Here you are. I've left a, quote, properly functioning assembly. And you've been gone for a while. And you're tired. this pillar and ground of truth stuff, this doctrinal purity, this hold the line, teach no other doctrine, as Paul says, it gets tiring. It gets tiring when every conversation you have with somebody, they either understand none of it or so precious little, you don't know where to start. It gets tiring. And you want to take a break, right? You want to go back to where it's easier for a while. Our flesh is not glad that we left a, quote, properly functioning assembly. But what does Galatians 6:9 say? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season what? This is like our bumper sticker verse for the past 3 years, 3.5. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if you don't quit, if you faint not. So, like I said, I don't have anything earth-shattering to say tonight, but what my heart is to encourage you, to encourage whoever watches on the internet world, to tell you, I'm glad you left. I'm glad I left. And if there's anybody watching that hasn't left, who is hiding out in a church they know they shouldn't be in, it's time for you to go. Start the first grace group in your town. Because chances are, there ain't one. And you would be it. So I'm glad you joined up with whatever this is. There was this one grace preacher when he'd come up, he'd say, "Welcome to whatever this is." It's a place trying to be a properly functioning assembly. That's what this is. And that's what all the groups around the world that are like us are. So don't faint, don't quit, don't go back. Do you know what that looks like? It is tiring, and it is hard. Here's what it looks like in black and white in God's Word for people who decide it's too tiring. I don't want to do it anymore. Look at, you're in Philippians, look over in Colossians 4. Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. What are you talking about, Steve? Look over at Philemon. Philemon, there's only one chapter. Philemon 1:24. I'll do verse 23 first. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborer. Why is Steve reading us a list of names? Look over at 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4:15. You've seen a name in each of those verses you're going to recognize here real quick. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me. Why? He loved this present world, and he's departed unto Thessalonica. That's what quitting looks like in your Bible. Put your name there. For Joe hath forsaken Pauline doctrine and truth, having loved this present world because it was easier, because it was comfortable, because his flesh liked it more, and he's departed unto the Methodists, unto the Baptists, unto the Pentecostals. That's what it looks like if you quit. That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. But put your name there if you quit. Don't be a Demas. Understand, too, our fond memories only grow more fond with time. You know how memory works. You forget about all the awful things, right? And all you remember is the good days. You forget all the baggage that came along with that wonderful gospel sang you enjoyed that day. You forget about what happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You forget that at the worst time in your life, when you didn't understand what was going on, you went to the preacher for help, and the preacher looked at you and said, God's mad at you. This is happening to you because you did X, Y, and Z, and God's mad at you. Thanks. That makes me feel so much better. You've taken away my peace with God, which Romans promises me. You've taken away the fact that I was supposedly forgiven all trespasses. Now you got God beating up on me. Thanks, preacher. That's great. We forget about that, don't we? After a while. You forget about the price that you had to pay doctrinally to get that wonderful retreat. Same as the Israelites did. Remember the Israelites? They were out of Egypt for what? Month and a half? Oh, that we could go back in Egypt and sit by the flesh pots and eat till we're full in Egypt. But oh, Moses, you've brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Oh, take us back to Egypt. Were things that great in Egypt? Remember bricks without straw, guys? People are the same. We're the same people they were. We have the same problems. But if that doesn't help, I just want to close with a couple of things. Reasons why I'm glad you left a, quote, properly functioning assembly. And I hope you will be encouraged by these as well. The first thing is I'm glad you don't have to go into your, quote, properly functioning assembly of your choice and watch Satan's work be done in front of your face. What is he talking about now? I didn't go to a Satanist church. What is this loon talking about? Turn over to 2 Corinthians, please. Second Corinthians 4. And verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Would it be safe to say that the gospel of the grace of God is hidden in just about every, quote, properly functioning assembly? Obfuscated, not mentioned at all, hidden in some way, preached halfway, works added to it? Okay. Who does work like that in verse 4? In whom the little g, O-D, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you are going to an assembly that is hiding the gospel, that is muddying the gospel, that is not preaching it all together, you're going to a place that has the stamp of approval of the God of this world. So if you've left that, I'm glad you don't have to put up with that anymore. I'm glad you don't have to see that. Invite Jesus into your heart as the piano plays softly. Come down front and make Jesus Lord of your life and give your life to Him today. If you would like to start your personal relationship with Jesus today, pray this simple prayer. We've all heard it. We've all maybe even done it. We've all had friends that have heard it and done it. And at no point did I say anything just now that was anywhere near the glorious gospel of the grace of God spoken about in 2 Corinthians there. It's hiding the gospel. And if you've left that glory, you don't have to put up with that anymore. You don't have to sit there and watch that happen to people. Watch victim after victim come down front and never hear the gospel.
So I'm glad about that.
I make statements like that, and it sounds so over the top, so bodacious. You're going to a church that's doing devilish work. Don't you know they're way better than you, and way nicer than you, and have way more money than you? Yes! But how did I get here, back at the whole beginning of this whole message? I chose to believe God's Word. And that's what God's Word says right there in black and white, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. So it may, just like all your friends, that's crazy, that's radical. No, that's God's Word in black and white. Another reason why I'm glad you left a properly functioning assembly, quote unquote. Can I just take the quote unquote off of that for the rest of the night? Said it enough times. You don't have to go, I touched on this a second ago, you don't have to go to church and lose your peace with God anymore. You don't have to lose your forgiveness of sins when you walk through the door of that sanctified holy temple. So I'm glad about that.
Don't you know that the Lord loves those who He chastens? And that's why all these bad things are happening to you, brother.
I know where he gets that verse. He gets that from Israel's Old Testament or Israel's New Testament. And guess what? The dispensation of the grace of God ain't either. Our apostle tells us in Romans 5:1, we are justified by faith. We have peace with God. If I'm at peace with you, I'm not beating you up. How about that? That's pretty safe to say, right? How about Colossians 2:13? He's quickened me together with Him, having forgiven me all trespasses. God's Holy Spirit baptized me into the body of Christ. Is Christ beating His own body? No. So I'm glad you've left that kind of situation. I'm glad you don't have to sit there with a guy wearing a nice suit trying to steal God's peace from you every week. Maybe we should consider things like that when we remember fondly all the things we miss about the place we left. You mentioned this a little bit ago. I'm glad you left because you're no longer... You no longer have to watch your preacher climb up Calvary's cross and try to pull the nails out of our Savior's hands and feet for the express purpose of separating you from your money. I'm glad about that. You've heard Malachi preach, right? Will a man rob God? How have you robbed me? You've not kept your tithes and offerings, right? What's the next verse say? They always read it to you. And I know why. They just had the deacon board meeting, and they looked at the financials, and they said, these jerks aren't giving enough to pay our salary this month. Let's get a Malachi message out. How wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, is what the next verse says. Remember that? How is that a problem? I just said your preacher is climbing up the cross trying to pull nails out of Calvary's cross. Here's why. Galatians 3:13 tells me, a saved member of Christ's body, that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did He do that? Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that's what the properly functioning assembly that you left used to do. Take away Christ's finished work, what He's accomplished for us in our lives, take that away from you for a few minutes until you cough up the cash. And then maybe next week we'll let Christ's payment be complete again, now that we got some money. If that's the kind of place you used to be at, I'm glad you left. And I would encourage you to stay gone. Finally, we'll be done. I'm glad you left a properly, quote, assembly, properly functioning assembly, because you no longer have to be taught by ignorant people. Did I just, my head grow? No. I was ignorant people most of my life. That doesn't mean I was stupid. That doesn't mean the people who are ignorant today are stupid. They are ignorant. They don't know. I have a very smart child here. She's completely ignorant on how to drive a car. Does that mean she's dumb? No. She just doesn't know. Her feet can't reach the pedals. Ignorant. Church pulpits are peopled with ignorant ministers. Here's how, let me end with this tonight. Here's, if you're still wondering, am I really glad I left? Think about walking up to any pastor in any one of those properly functioning assemblies and say, "Pastor, I was just reading Ephesians 3:2. Have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given Paul to us? Can you tell me about that, preacher?" How do you think that conversation is going to go? No, they haven't heard. So that means I've been sitting here for 15 years learning from an ignorant person? Yes. How about, "Preacher, okay, you can't handle verse 2. What about verse 4 there in Ephesians 3? What is the mystery of Christ, preacher? I'm supposed to understand Paul's knowledge in that. Can you tell me what that is, preacher?" No. Predestination? Ever read a book once? That's the level of ignorance that is in the places that we sometimes fondly miss some things about. We can't go back. Yeah, it's tough on the front lines, but look what you left. They can't answer something so basic and so simple. That's square one. That's the fundamental. They can't even get the gospel right. So yeah, I'm glad I left. I'm glad you left. "Preacher, how come you said that everybody was looking forward to the cross and Peter just found out about it in Matthew 16 and didn't want it when he found out about it?"
Read a book?
You don't want to go back to that. So I'm glad we've all left properly functioning assemblies. And, yeah, it's hard. But that's why the instruction's there. Be not weary in well-doing. You know why? Because it's very wearisome to be well-doing. Following the Lord Jesus Christ's instructions to Paul in this sin-cursed earth. Verse wouldn't be there if it wasn't necessary, right? So we shall reap if we faint not. So let's press on and not have our name among the Demases of the world. That's all I've got tonight.